and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Ashiana Housing Limited Q1 FY24 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Binay Sarda from Ernst & Young. Thank you, and over to you.
Thanks, Yashashri. Welcome everyone, and thanks for joining this Q1 FY24 earnings call for Ashiana Housing Limited. The results and the investor presentation have been mailed to you, and it is also available on the stock exchange. In case if you have not received the same, please write to us, and we'll be happy to send it over to you. To take us through the results for this quarter and answer your questions, we have with us today Mr. Varun Gupta, Whole-time Director, and Mr. Vikash Dugar, CFO. We'll be starting the call with a brief overview of the company's performance of this quarter, and then we'll follow it up with a Q&A session. I would like to remind you that everything said on this call that reflects any outlook for the future, which may be construed as a forward-looking statement, must be viewed in conjunction with uncertainties and risks that they face. These uncertainties and risks are included but not limited to what we have mentioned in the prospectus filed with SEBI and subsequent annual reports, which you will find on our website. With that said, I'll now hand over the call to Mr. Vikash Dugar. Over to you, sir.
Good afternoon, everyone. Hope all of you and your families are keeping healthy. I welcome you to discuss the performance of the first quarter of FY24 for Ashiana Housing Limited. Thank you for joining us today. Area booked recorded in Q1 FY24 was 6.53 lakh sq ft as compared to 3.34 lakh sq ft in Q1 FY23. Value of area booked also went up to rupees 436.2 crores in Q1 FY24 vis-à-vis rupees 435.82 crores in quarter four of FY23 and rupees 152.1 crores in quarter one of the last year. Ashiana Amara's second phase was launched in April, and entire stock was sold out on launch, 224 units with a sale value of around rupees 290 crores. Average realization went up to rupees 6,684 per sq ft in Q1 FY24 as compared to 4,557 per sq ft in Q1 FY23. This was majorly driven by bookings in Ashiana Amara, Gurugram. We handed over 3.32 lakh sq ft in Q1 FY24, out of which 2.35 lakh sq ft were delivered in Ashiana Daksh, phase two, Jaipur, which was fully handed over in Q1. This was against a delivery of 2.72 lakh sq ft in Q4 FY23 and 2.11 lakh sq ft in Q1 FY23. Total revenue increased to rupees 129.3 crores in Q1 FY24 vis-à-vis rupees 116.9 crores in Q4 FY23 due to high deliveries in AHL, which was 2.94 lakh sq ft versus 2.34 lakh sq ft. PAT increased to INR 10.87 crores in Q1 FY24 from rupees 10.38 crores in Q4 FY23. PCI also improved to rupees 11.2 crores in Q1 FY24 vis-à-vis 10.51 crore in Q4 FY23. Pre-tax operating cash flow was recorded at rupees 83.15 crores in Q1 FY24 vis-à-vis rupees 22.6 crores in Q4 FY23. FY23 was at rupees 84.85 crores. This was aided by higher collections during the quarter. On this note, I would like to conclude my remarks. We'll now be happy to discuss any questions or suggestions that you may have. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question-and-answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touch-tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have a first question from the line of Rohit from iThought PMS. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, we can hear you.
Hi, Rohit. Go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, everybody. Thank you for the opportunity. So just a couple of questions to begin with. This year, you in the last quarter, you mentioned that we are sort of aiming for 1,500 crores, and it seems that the first quarter was also decent from that perspective. Just wanted to get a sense, how do you see this year, I mean, the upcoming quarter, how are you thinking about that from a ramp-up point of view?
Hi, Rohit. So we continue to maintain a 1,500 crore pre-sales guidance for the year. The first quarter was very heavy with respect to Ashiana Amara Phase 2 being launched in this quarter. And we'll do one more phase launch of Amara this year, probably in Q4 of this year, or late Q3 or early Q4. I was thinking more, probably be in Q4 of this year. So therefore, we will have a few quarters which might be very heavy in sale, where you have a large phase getting launched of any project, and some quarters a little lower. But overall, the 1,500 crore run rate seems to be good. We were also happy with the way July progressed for the year overall. So things seem to be on good track right now.
Right. So that's good to hear. I'm seeing your presentation, you've given the delivery. So this year also is very heavy on delivery. I mean, from a P&L point of view, these would be based on what realization? This would be more around 3,000 rupees or a bit more, and gross margins on these would be like higher. I'm circling back to that question of ROE being 15%. So at these numbers, can we hit 15% reported ROE, or given the realization were low, this may not be the case?
Okay. So on the front of realizations, for all of these projects, we provide the realizations in a separate sheet. You can go through it and compile that, and that's provided across projects. What is the value of area booked as on date for each phase? This is on slide 11. Okay.
So
that would help. Overall realization for these projects would be lower than earlier, but definitely not in the 3,000 rupee range overall. But I don't have the number handy, but 3,500 to 4,000. So about 3,700 rupees on average is what you can expect, but there is quite a bit of variation. In different price brackets across this. Gross margins on these projects would be lower than what we generally do. It will not be the 30% expected margins that we have. But that said, on the net margin performance, I think relatively things would improve significantly, because our fixed costs will not go up in the proportion that revenues will go up. Get into the teens for ROE on a reported basis this year on a definite basis.
Okay. Got it. And the other question is now, I mean, in terms of, given we don't have any major inventory, and even in terms of land bank, obviously we acquired one in Gurgaon again recently. But just from that perspective, so this year we will be able to do it. We'll be able to launch a few projects, and we will probably get to that 1,500 crores. But given that the business is such that we need to plan at least a year before, or at least a year before we think of launching, so how do you think for next year, or what's your thought process?
So this year we have overall 5 projects to launch, out of which the first one being Ashiana Amod in Pune was launched in July, and then we have 2 projects in Chennai and 2 projects in Jaipur each. I think one of the good things that happened in July for us, secularly sales have moved up even in running projects. And when the second quarter data comes in, that would be useful, whereby we can sell We have over a crore square foot in the future pipeline that we have, excluding Calcutta and Milakpur, which are basically a little bit of a stuck. So we have 90 lakhs in future projects and about 10 lakh square foot in the Gurugram's new land, so it's about a crore square foot. So we have a good pipe overall, according to me, keep launching right now in phases and keep things rolling as we go along. We don't want to have a very large pipe, I think, so to drive return on equity with net margins, we also have to maintain a sales to asset or a sales to equity ratio and a return on assets and return on equity, sales on over equity if you don't have leverage effectively to look at our net assets. And in that perspective, I think if you build a very large pipe, returns might get compressed. So we don't want to go crazy on pipe. We will keep having replacement stock and when we see larger opportunities to look at growth. We did around 20 lakh square foot of acquisition last year, including Sector 80 in Gurgaon and two projects in Jaipur, having probably a sales revenue potential of about 1500 crores. We are in active discussions for two transactions as well right now. So replacement pipe will keep coming till we see a very strong margin support or very great opportunities in land whereby we can really ramp up our volumes and also maintain healthy margins at the cost of land that is there today.
Right. Makes sense. And just one more thing from a geography point of view. If I look at your overall saleable area, this is on page 14. So obviously you've done really well in Gurgaon, and that also is a future area. I just wanted your view on Pune and Chennai. I mean, they have put together about 11%. What are your thought process on these two geographies? Is there a thought process to sort of ramp them up significantly in the next 2-3 years? Just wanted to hear your thoughts.
So yeah, there are plans to ramp up both Pune and Chennai. There are plans to ramp up senior living as a larger part of the company. And in that context, in Pune, we have just launched Ashana Amod in July, which will make a large difference to the Pune overall proportion of sales and things that we're looking at. We also, Chennai, both Swarang and Vatsalya, which are the two senior living projects, we hope to launch in this financial year itself.
Okay.
And we see a very strong opportunity for senior living both in Pune and Chennai, and driving, getting to now senior living contributing north of 20% of sales and revenues and a little bit more of profits as we go along because we see higher margins, and hopefully improving to a third over the next 2-3 years. So there is a large push in that direction. And okay. So Rohit, can I request you also for further questions?
I'll come back.
People waiting, and I would like to get them.
Sure. All the very best. Thank you.
Thank you, Rohit. Thank you.
A reminder to participants to press star and 1 to ask a question. We have our next question from the line of Himanshu Upadhyay from O3 Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good afternoon. And congrats on good set of numbers, and especially the year it has started. I hope the momentum continues. I have a question on the buyback, okay? We chose the price of ₹301. And the company will pay a dividend tax of around 23%, which takes the effective price to the company of buying shares at ₹370, okay? Mm-hmm. And then the stock price was around ₹190. Mm-hmm. Can you explain the logic of it, and also why not market buyback? Would not that have created more value for the remaining shareholders in the company? I understand it is a small amount, but again, it seems it may not create as much value.
Himanshu, A, it is a small amount, like you said. So, and B, I think we looked at it as more of a one-time distribution of cash flows back to shareholders and looked at it as an alternative to dividends as to how do we give cash back to shareholders rather than looking at it as a as another form of allocating capital and buying shares at a cheaper price, and therefore it's a way to invest the capital of a company. It was more, and when we looked at it, it was a tax-free cash flow back to shareholders. There was obviously buyback tax at the company, but overall a more efficient way to reward shareholders back through as a one-time distribution of cash flow.
Okay.
So that's the lens we applied as compared to the lens that you are applying.
And this 301 price, was there a cash flow basis method of valuation or the third party valuation you chose, or?
No, it was just a premium to ensure all the shareholders participate in the buyback completely and everybody gets rewarded.
Okay. And one thing, the IFC deal we have signed, will it be only for incremental areas we'll purchase, or they can partner for that large HSIDC project also?
We can partner for the large HSIIDC project also, and other than that, other fresh projects that we have to do.
And any change in the terms which we had with IFC earlier?
No, it's on the same terms.
And this HSIIDC, have we paid the complete payments which were to be done, or it is...
No, only 25% payment is made. I'm sure the remaining payments are due after a year.
So we'll expect the project launch only in 25 end or 26?
We hope to launch the project in 25 end.
Okay. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you, Himanshu.
Thank you. A reminder to participants to press star and 1 to ask a question. We have our next question from the line of Praveen Agarwal, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. I have a couple of questions. One, on the overall trend, demand trend, which you're seeing across markets. And second is a related question, that in terms of price appreciation, the delta you are, in terms of percentage terms, what you are seeing in the end product, essentially the apartments which you are selling versus the land rate. Essentially, is one growing faster than the other, or it's kind of in tandem? Essentially, what I'm trying to assess is whether going forward, will our margins increase, or it will be kind of stable, or where we are.
Okay. So as of now, in my view, land rates have gone faster than price appreciation in the last 18 months. Of the land prices have appreciated at a rate faster than end apartment prices. Okay. That said, now in a lot of pockets, I've started seeing land prices plateau. In some pockets, not yet. Okay. And apartment prices continue to appreciate. So in some places, in these pockets, I hope that the land prices will become stable and the apartment prices will catch up in the appreciation. So margins remain relatively stable that we are used to. That said, all the transactions that we have done 2021 onwards, I think we were able to do generally at good terms, and our margins on those projects are better than what we have had margins historically.
Okay, that helps. Just one last question. Any update on the Calcutta land which was stuck, or the other one which is under the court order?
Both Milakpur and Calcutta are long stay stuck. Yeah. We have not been able to see any light of day.
Okay. That's it from us.
Thank you, Praveen.
Thank you. We have our next question from the line of Asif Ali from Independent Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Hi, Ashish.
Hello. Thank you for the opportunity.
No, we cannot hear you clearly. Please use your handset mode.
Okay. Yeah, hello. Am I audible now?
Yes.
Okay, thank you for the opportunity. So I have two questions regarding the proposal to co-invest with IFC, International Finance Corporation. So the first one is, what are your identified projects? Hello?
We haven't identified a pipe yet for the IFC platform. It's too early right now. Once we have got the platform, now we are going to start identifying projects to put on the platform.
Okay. The second one is, what do you mean by the return linked to project-specific return? Can you put some light on this?
Can you say that again?
So what do you mean by the return linked to project-specific return for the identified project?
I'm not able to understand what you are really asking, Ashish.
Actually,
Mr. Ashish, please use your handset and speak closer to the microphone, please.
Okay. Am I audible now?
Yeah, please ask your question. Yeah. Barely, Ashish. You're not audible clearly.
Ashish, try now once, please.
Yeah, I'm audible now.
Yeah, go on.
Okay, the second question is regarding the return linked to project-specific return. So I just wanted to understand what do you mean by this?
Mean by what?
Saying ki IFC, the returns are related to project-specific.
Okay, so it's not a fixed return obligation investments. They have a return in the project. So effectively, they make the return what the project makes. A little lower because we get a higher rate of return on our capital that the company puts in. But effectively, their overall return is tied to the return in the project itself.
If that was what, Ashish, you were asking for?
Yeah. Thanks. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Thank you, Ashish.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star and one on your phone now. We have a question from the line of Rohit from iThought PMS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, I just had a couple of follow-ups. So, you were talking about, in I think few calls back, you were also evaluating some new geographies, be it Bangalore or Bombay, or for senior living in the outskirts. So just wanted to get your sense, have things moved forward or, what's your thought process there?
We are very excited by the launch that has happened for Ashiana Amodh in Pune for a senior living launch in a fresh market. We are satisfied with the volumes that have been received and the price that we have been able to command in that area. We are looking actively closer to Bombay. We are in one very advanced deal discussions near Panvel. But outside of that, we are still scouting and looking.
Okay, sorry, could you repeat? So this is in Pune, you were saying, the one that you're scouting for? I missed that part, sorry.
We are scouting around closer to Bombay, closer to Panvel.
Understood.
We are in advanced negotiations and advanced discussions for one parcel already.
Understood. Okay. And in your Pune, the one in Vijayawada, Malhar, I mean, have you seen any
Sorry, but
kind
you're
of...
not clear. Can you use your handset, please?
Is it any better now, ma'am?
Yes.
Yeah.
So in your Vijayawada project in Pune, Malhar, have you seen any price appreciation and the sell-through, how has been the sell-through so far?
So the sell-through rate is okay. We had launched 262,000 sq ft. I think August of last year was probably the launch. And we sold 181,000 sq ft as of 30th June. That's a decent enough sell-through rate for us. Price appreciation is not of the nature that we would have desired. but it is appreciated. So we would have appreciated by about 300 rupees a square foot to 300 rupees a square foot. I think there is room for more, but that will take some time for us to be able to establish the kind of product that we do and how we are differentiated from the market, which will take a little bit, I think, will take time till deliveries. And you know, over a period of time, that will kick in.
Okay, okay. This 300 rupees incremental is on what base, Varun?
Yes, sir. Okay. I'm not sure exactly, or I will be giving again rounded numbers. I think we were selling at about 5100 and we are at about 5400 today.
Understood.
Yeah, so 5200 we were selling at and we are at somewhere between 54 to 5500 rupees a square foot right now on a saleable area basis. So that's
right.
That's where we are.
Right, understood. So I mean, that project, I think we face competition from a couple of other developers there. So, I mean, how that is that the reason why? Are you happy with the sell-through? You said you are happy. Is that, or you could have done better?
So in Malar, am I satisfied because it's the first project for us and therefore it takes time for us to establish our brand? Yes, I am, because the sell-through rate is good, you know, to keep the ball chugging along. But from the margins that we are making in Malar, we are not satisfied at all. But for that, we'll have to establish our brand further to be able to realize better prices. I think that's still a work in progress. As compared to Ashiana Amoz in Pune, where we are satisfied with the volumes and we are very happy with the price that we're getting.
Got it. Understood. And this Amoz would be there exactly in terms of area, if you can just share.
Amoz is located on Talegaon.
Okay.
So it serves both Bombay and Pune from a senior level.
Yeah. All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Rohit. Yeah.
Thank you.
We have our next question from the line of Deepak Purswani from Swan Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi. Good afternoon, sir.
Just wanted to check it out.
Firstly, in terms of the pre-tax operating cash flow, this quarter we have done 84 crore. I mean, from the run rate point of view, how should we think it from the next 2-3 year perspective? How it should shape it up?
Okay. So from this year's perspective, I think we are expecting pre-tax operating cash flows anywhere between 250 to 300 crores. This quarter was a little bit heavier than usual because I think there was a little bit of coverage of last year. Last year was a little slow. I think we had sold, but the collections came in, particularly in Ashiana Amara this year. And we also had overall a lower amount of construction in this quarter as compared to the proportionate amount of work that we'll do next year. Like, you know, this year we did this quarter we did 435,000 square foot as compared to 508,000 square foot in the last quarter, and the construction pace will also pick up. So overall, the 83-84 is a little higher aberration, but maintaining about a 250 crores to 300 crores between that range run rate is something that we are aiming for this year, and hopefully going forward that should improve as sales value improves.
Okay, and is it possible to share the numbers in terms of collection and construction outflow, sir?
We'll have to get back to you on the same. I think collection was around 250 odd crores. Is this quarter?
Yeah. It was around 250 odd crores, yes. Correct.
Okay. So I don't have exact construction outflow numbers, but there will be other outflows like, you know, JDA partner payouts will also be pre this number. So there would be other outflows, not just construction outflows at that. And this year we expect to collect anywhere between 1000 to 1100 crores and make net operating cash, free tax operating cash of between 250 to 350.
Okay. And in terms of the Gurugram market, sir, what should be our overall strategy in terms of the acquisition of the project and long-term strategic shares in terms of the overall sales profile?
Okay, can you repeat that question for me again, please?
Yeah. with regards to the Gurugram market, micro market as a whole, what should be our overall strategy in terms of taking the market share and also in terms of overall contribution from the sales perspective from the next 3 or 5 year perspective?
Okay. Alright. So I think Gurgaon from our perspective will contribute over a third of our sales and profits in general going forward. Okay. In terms of total revenue terms, in terms of area it will be a little lower because it's a higher price and on a per square foot margin and a absolute profit and a per square foot sale price, it's a higher priced micro market than we usually operate in. But I would say a third of our sales should come in from Gurgaon. From a perspective of market share there, we don't have any market share strategy, Deepak. What we have is we want to play in the less than, let's say, 3 crore bracket, preferably in the less than 2.5 crore bracket and 1 crore and upward price point, play there, give high quality design, high quality product, high quality service, and establish a brand that allows us to charge a premium price as we go along. And so I think that's the exercise that we're looking to do. If we are successful in that, then from our growth perspective, I think we will be okay. We don't want to take a market share view. That's not something that necessarily we want to study and analyze overall. Just make a very competitive product and a great brand and do good to the customers. I think the play is large enough that we will get whatever we need as a developer in that.
Okay, and sir, in terms of the average realization for the project launch this quarter, what was the average realization for the Gurgaon project?
So Gurgaon phase 2 was around 7700 rupees a square foot. Yeah, that amount is, if you look at slide 11 of the deck that we share, we have given the, 377,000 square foot was sold and 290 crores was the value. So, so 7692 numbers, which is about 7700 numbers.
Okay. And sir, in terms of the expansion plan through the ISC, is there really committed or guaranteed return? I know you mentioned about the project related IRR
There is no committed or guaranteed return on the instrument.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks a lot, sir.
Thank you.
We have our next question from the line of Manan Patel from Airavat Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations for very successful launches. Sir, the first question is, I wanted to understand your views on the growth in terms of square foot over next 3 to 4 years. So last year we did around 2.6 million and we have, as you mentioned, around 1 crore square feet of pipeline. So that would be less than 4 years if we consider the growth also. So what are your views on the growth in square footage? While I understand the prices are appreciating, realizations are going up, so sales are also doing pretty well. So how do we think of your aspirations or growth targets in terms of square feet over the next few years?
So, Manan, I think we made the mistake of last time on focusing on top line volume growth a lot in the last bull run and focusing on that. I think as a company, I think what we are going to do is we are going to focus on return on equity and keep deploying incremental capital well to generate further returns, which will create growth. You know, if your capital base is increasing and your returns are stable, then your earnings are growing at that pace, that simple math. But the focus of the company is less on top line volumes and the focus of the company is on return on equity. As stated, our view is that how we get to 15% return on equity. We do both economic and reported basis works. This year we should definitely on an economic basis cross 15% threshold, and on a reported basis I'm hoping to get into teens this year. and keep growing that. And as and when we do that, our earnings and our top line should continue to grow. But that's the kind of sort of focus I think we want to have as a company. And we do that, we'll be fine. So we don't have a top line number that we are chasing, Richard. A volume number we are looking at from a 3-4 year perspective. We have actually not mapped that out.
Understood. That's very helpful. And secondly, I would like to understand the position, the time in the cycle we are in, based on the demand and supply or launches happening in your major market sector now. So you mentioned that the apartment prices are appreciating, but land prices appreciated faster, and now they are stagnating. So where in the cycle do you think are we? In terms of further appreciation in the apartment price?
Yeah, I've gotten this wrong multiple times, okay? The kind of bull run that has happened at this pace would have been difficult to call. I was publicly commenting 18-24 months from about 18 to 24 months ago that we are in a multi-year bull run cycle because of supply compression that had happened. Fortunately, absolute inventories across major markets, except barring one or two, are not increasing yet, whereby sales continue to outpace launches. And till that happens and continues to happen, I think apartment prices will continue to appreciate. By what pace, for how long, those are difficult things to call with exact things. But again, right now the sense is that it will continue on a multi-bullier run. And I am bearish on launches, that launches will catch up a lot, because the capital availability for the sector still continues to be restricted. And access to capital is only with a few developers. And till that continues, I think overall supply in the market will continue to be constrained. But that's the data I would look at, is absolute unsold inventory that's in the markets, are they increasing or are they decreasing? Right now they are fairly stable, I would say, or decreasing slowly.
Understood. And in terms of affordability, how long do you think the appreciation can last till the affordability gets hit?
Again, it's a difficult thing to call for how long. But the first sign of affordability is when unit size is apartment starts compressing. So if developers start making smaller and smaller units, whereby two-bedroom units will start outselling three-bedroom units, the size of three-bedroom units will reduce, the size of two-bedroom units, that will be the first sign whereby affordability is getting hurt. Okay? Right now, the demand for bigger size apartments continue, and we continue to see apartment sizes increasing. So the signs of affordability issues are not yet there.
Got it. So that's a very helpful indicator. Thanks a lot and wish you all.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star and one on your phone now. We'll take a next question from the line of VP Rajesh from Banyan Capital Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi, Varun and Vikash. Congrats on some good launches.
So please use your handset.
My question. Hello?
Yeah, please use your handset mode.
Yeah, I'm using handset. Is it okay now?
Be a little louder, VP. Just a tiny bit louder.
Okay, sure.
That's good.
Okay, so my first question was that in your projects that you are launching, are you starting to see more investor interest? Are you tracking that, and what's the sense you're getting as to the customer that is buying those units?
Yep, so maybe two things. On, there are two kinds of investors. One are people who buy to hold and buy to let, okay, investors.
Right.
And there is a preferred investor who wants to exit at possession. Okay. We are designing the firm a little bit more to be unattractive to this investor who wants to buy or launch and sell it possession. Because that can hurt a little bit. So we are telling all our customers that we will not allow any trade without you getting a sale deed registered and stamped, which increases the transaction cost of that. So hopefully, in my view, it's keeping that buy to flip investor at a very low proportion of our sales right now. But we are getting interest from buy to let investors significantly, but which has always been the case in our proportion of our sales. I think proportionately they're not changing. They make up about 50% of our apartment sales in general, and 50% would be owner occupiers of the units which are not sold to buy to flip investors, which are very low right now.
Got it. And then the second question about the Noida market, we were looking at it a couple of years ago. Just was curious, what's your prognosis now, and is that also interesting you still?
I'm not able to make sense of the land prices there to do senior living there. I don't see margins are commensurate to the investment. So I find it difficult to make returns in that market as of now.
Right. And in terms of our markets now, would you consider Pune as an established market for us, or do you think it still is to be seen? And if you can just comment, like, where are you?
I don't think it's established yet. But the start has been good, and we are looking at it to do well for us. I think from a senior, expectations from a senior living market of Bombay, Pune, and not just Pune, Bombay, Pune as one sort of station, and doing senior living there, we have high expectations of doing well there. And the prognosis that we had gone in with in terms of demand for senior living and the kind of gentry we can attract there, in Ashana Amod, that diagnosis is coming through, and it seems to be going well.
Got it. And just one quick question on the last years. What was your economic profit or ROI based on the economic profit? ROE, rather.
Economic ROE, we were in low double digits, okay, last year. And this year we are looking at economic ROE to be in the high teens.
High teens, okay.
Yeah, in this year we should cross our projection says we will cross 15 quite handsomely. First quarter is giving a sense that we are on the right track.
Wonderful. Good. Thank you. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to participants to press star and one to ask a question. We have a question from the line of Ajay Vora from Nuvama Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. Congratulations on good set of numbers. Just want to understand your thought process. So going forward, you know, you said that we have broadly, you know, 10 million square feet kind of a, you know, pipeline which we can build up over the next 4 or 5 years. Is there a mechanism or what is your thought in terms of, you know, having a particular or I would say steady state EBITDA margins on each of the projects? So, you know, the realization may keep changing and the land cost and all the construction cost, but is there a mechanism where, you know, we are targeting a particular EBITDA margin on all the projects which we plan to launch going forward?
So margins do vary, Ajay, project to project. We do have what I would call inventory gains and inventory losses, whereby, you know, between the time we do the deal and then we sell the project, markets can change dynamically. We look to underwrite a 30% GP generally when we take projects. For own outright purchase projects, we look for a little slightly higher number. For JV, we can leave a little bit, and this is at the project level GP. Project level GP to us is sales, less construction, less land, less approval cost, all project related costs excluding sales and marketing costs. And then from that we reduce the sales and marketing costs. Sales and marketing costs right now is averaging about 4% in the company, maybe 4.25%, but ranging between 3 and 6, depending on where it is. And the other overheads are a little bit of a fixed item, right, which gets spread. And there is a degree of operating leverage there, depending on, you know, how much we are able to sell it.
No, but if I look at your, you know, historical trend, it has been extremely volatile at the company level. So I understand, you know, it changes at the project level. But at a consolidated, I'm not even asking for a quarterly thing. But at an annual level, what sort of number post all the expenses and all, are we targeting any particular number, say 15%, 20%, 25%?
Okay, so let me put it this way, that the EBITDA margins at the company level have been depressed significantly because of this fixed cost that we are talking about, overheads, which is leading to a high degree of operating leverage. So as in when revenues go up, our fixed costs will not go up significantly. So margins should definitely improve at the company level. I think from a PAT perspective, I don't know so much of EBITDA, again, we don't do the exact math. But from a PAT perspective, I think the crossing 10% initially and going up to 13-14% is where we would like to get to on the total comprehensive income margin. So TCI margins right now, you know, annually have varied between, you know, we have had losses and has gone up to 10.6 over the last 5-6 years. I think getting to that 10% threshold and then going up to hopefully 14-15 in peak years as the PAT margin is what would be ideal, and hopefully averaging around 12
or 30. Cool, that was helpful. And, you know, considering the free cash flow which we will generate, broadly, you know, that will be utilized for land acquisition and JVs, right, going forward? Or is there any other thought behind that?
No, there isn't. Or we might sit on the cash also for a little bit if we don't see a lot of good deals coming in. So I think we will not, as I said earlier, we made the mistake of chasing top line growth, and therefore we lost sight of whether the terms of the deal were making as much sense as it should be. Were we reasonably conservative enough earlier? So we might sit on the capital also, ideally would be to deploy into land and JV to grow the business. That's the ideal piece.
Okay, great. Thanks and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, please press star and one on your phone now. As there are no further questions, I would now like to hand the conference over to management for closing comments. Over to you.
We would like to thank all of you for being on this call and being so patient with all the questions and answers. If you were unable to take any questions, please feel free to write to us directly or reach out to us directly. And with that, we would like to conclude the call. A lot of material we have spoken about is posted on our website, and you can also email your queries for any further clarification. Thank you once again for taking the time to join us on this call. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Ashiana Housing Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.